Our scripture for this morning is Luke chapter 2, verses 25 to 35. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, for which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too."
We used that story last week as a background for the sermon message. I'm going to use it again next week, although the last part of it actually next week. But the reason that we are using this text and I'm preaching on this text is to help us keep our eyes on what it is that God may be doing, what God is up to. In other words, how can we see clearly and expectantly with the vision that God might have, the Lord might have for your life, or he might have for my life, or he might have for this neighborhood or our church, or yes, even our nation. And we could go even broader than that. There are two things I said last week about God's vision, and I'm just going to repeat them in case you weren't here. The first thing I said was that his vision is a righteous and holy vision. His vision for me is righteous and holy. His vision for you is righteous and holy, or for the world is righteous and holy. It was born out of the Holy Spirit. Luke makes it very clear that Simeon was led by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit revealed to him what God was up to. And because it is righteous and holy, and you might remember that we said this, God is not going to feed it to the dogs or cast it before swine. That's from Matthew 7, verse 6. He's not going to feed it to dogs or cast it before swine. I even told a story about feeding it to the dogs. But what it means is that God is not going to make the decision to reveal himself and what he's up to if I'm not fully surrendered to him, if my character is not conformed to his. And so that's one of the things that we have to think about as Christians. Are we conforming our character to God's? Are we aligning ourselves? And are we surrendered to him? Then when we are, he will begin to reveal himself. And so the vision is a holy and righteous vision. The second thing I said is, and this is a painful thing because we live in a culture and in a country where waiting is kind of taboo. But the fact is, you have to wait sometimes. You have to wait for a long time for God to be fully revealed. I said last week, God moves mountains, and I don't have any question that God moves mountains. He's moved a few of mine. But having said that, sometimes he moves them at a snail's pace, and at least on my timetable, on my time frame, because I'm kind of impatient that way. And Anna waited expectantly, watching, just waiting for something to happen for 63 years before God finally revealed his plan of salvation in that little baby that Mary and Joseph brought into temple. 63 years. And we know that Simeon was waiting a long time until finally, when God was ready, he dumped it in her lap. And that vision was revealed to him. So when it was, Simeon said, "O sovereign Lord, you can now dismiss your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen what you're up to. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared in the presence and in the sight of all people. But sovereign Lord, you can now dismiss me." That is one of, I don't know if you're aware of this, one of the more well-known benedictions in the Bible. It's not the most known, but it is one of the more. And it has a Latin name. That Latin name is the Nunc Dimittis. Believe it or not, I didn't know that until I was in seminary. The Nunc Dimittis. What's that mean in Latin? Now dismiss. Sovereign Lord, you can now dismiss. When God reveals himself so that the vision of what he's doing is clear, there is a definite peace available to us. It's available to us because we know that, ultimately, who's in charge? He is. He is in charge, and he is responsible for its success, or he is responsible for its failure. Let me get down a bunny trail just to put it in perspective, because we're not that far away from Christmas. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Mary, you remember, and told her what God was up to, revealed God's vision for her life, and said that through the Holy Spirit she was going to become impregnated, and that she would bear forth the child of God, the Son of the living God himself, okay? I am sure that Mary had questions. I know she asked one, how can this be since I'm a virgin? Secretly, I would have had questions. I'm sure she had a couple of what ifs, you know, after the angel left her. What if, what if, what if? I am sure, as I said to the board today, she wasn't feeling prepared. What was Mary, 14, 15? How are you prepared to bear the Son of God or to even become pregnant when you have no husband? I mean, you know, that's a scary proposition. And so I'm sure she felt unprepared. And I know she experienced pushback. You know, Joseph pushed back. He didn't understand what was going on. That tells me her parents probably pushed back. You and I know Herod pushed back. But my point is, in spite of those things, her fear and trepidation never was revealed, never was betrayed. And it wasn't betrayed because, remember what she said, "Behold, I'm the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be to me. Let it happen according to your word." Mary accepted it. She accepted it. She embraced what God had revealed to her. She embraced it. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Then she gave it over to God, recognizing that he is responsible for its success, and she had peace. When God reveals himself to you, you're probably going to have some questions. I know if an angel ever appears to me, I'm going to have a few questions. You probably will have some what ifs. You probably won't feel experienced and ready. But recognizing he is responsible for that success, you can have peace like Simeon did. I love what the scripture says that Simeon did. Seeing the child, he took the child in his arms. And that, I just have to say this, is how we know that Simeon was a priest. Because the only other person besides the parents that would have taken that child up in their arms would have been the priest. You know, when I dedicate children, I dedicated Remy, I may have taken him up in my arms. I don't all children, it depends on their mood, but I do a lot of the children. I take them. It's one of the privileges I have as a minister that you don't have until after the service. And he took the child up and he embraced what God revealed to him. This was the Messiah. This was God's Christ. The Holy Spirit had said so. Now, I'm sure Simeon had questions. Not the least of which was, this is the Messiah, and as a kid. That's not the kind of Christ that he was looking for. But he realized, I'm repeating myself, that the Holy Spirit had put it on him and that this was God's plan. Therefore, he embraced it. And then we know that he gave the child back and said, "Lord, you can dismiss me now. I am at peace." And I have to tell you, that sounds a lot easier than it is. Let's talk about something personal that happened here. It was probably 2017, but it might have been early 18. I think it was 2017. God kind of revealed to me that one of the things that would be nice for Chambersburg Church of the Brethren to do is host a pool party for the community at the new aquatic center. I even flew that idea out there, and it really didn't at that time. I didn't fly it with a lot of guts, so it really wasn't heard well. And then they started to pay attention to it. But at the aquatic center, I didn't think of that. God kind of thought of that for whatever reason. And only God knows the seeds he planted that night. But here's the thing. When that vision first came to me and to us, the rec department, the board, the rec committee, fellowship and rec, The first question I had was, how in the world are we going to pay for it? Because it's not cheap out there. How are we going to pay for it? And then at Jamie's urgence, she says, go and get us a date. So I went out and to the rec department, and they only had 3 dates in the whole entire summer left. 3 dates. And this was like May. And the one date was early June, and the other 2 dates we couldn't take. And early June, it's still cool at nighttime. And I remember thinking to myself, who in the world's going to come? Then Allie put it on Facebook. Well, by golly, they were coming. Then the question was, how many are coming? And that's when the rec department got excited, and they called me on the telephone, and they said, you can have 500 people, just 500. Well, you promised us 1,000, 500. Because in their minds, they thought, what if we have 2,000 running us over? We'll never be able to do it. And so that was a question they had and we had. And then as the event grew near, they did this. And I'm not faulting them for it now. I've grown through this process. But you're going to need insurance. Why are we going to need insurance? Well, in case something bad happens. Now, frankly, they didn't say it that way, but they might as well have. That's what it meant. And frankly, it never dawned on me that anything bad was going to happen. And so my question was, what bad? What if? Well, how are we going to pay for that? How much is that going to cost? And to make matters worse, and I'm done, to make matters worse, the long-range forecast, if you believe in those things, was not pleasant. And it's like, this whole thing's going to be a bust. Except God, through the Holy Spirit, had said, I think this is a pretty good idea. Folks, it was difficult for me to surrender, and particularly surrender myself. It was difficult for me to surrender to God and to let God be responsible for the vision, okay? And some of you went through that with me. Emily went through that. People on the board went through, and Kathy definitely, and went through the gamut of emotion. You know, I was a wreck through that thing. I even remember talking to this service about it one time because I had no trouble embracing it. That's the first thing we've got to do is embrace God's vision, and that takes guts. I didn't have a problem embracing it. I had problems letting it go and saying, if you want it, Lord, you're going to have to make it happen because, you know, that's just the way it is. I was reminded when I wrote this sermon of a family I used to visit in Gettysburg. You've probably heard this, but you know, at the time it was brand new. They had a refrigerator magnet. And the refrigerator magnet said, good morning, this is God. I'm going to be handling all your problems today. I won't need your help. Have a good day. And that's kind of what I needed to have as my attitude toward the pool. I'm going to handle it. I don't need your help. You have a good day. But that's what Simeon meant when he said sovereign Lord. When you pray to the sovereign Lord, you are confessing that he is the ultimate. You are confessing that he's the ultimate in power. That he's the ultimate in authority. He's the ultimate in wisdom and knowledge and understanding. He's the ultimate in love. And again, it is his, what's the word here? Incontestable right to make it happen. And so, because I couldn't turn over the vision, I couldn't be at peace. But you know what happened to me? And this you don't know. The week of the 15th of June last year, which is when it was, the 15th of June is when it was, Saturday the 15th, you had contributed to food, the insurance got paid for. We had volunteers to work it, to serve it. Jamie got us a nice sign to advertise what it was and who we were. And Facebook chatter had calmed down a little bit, and we had gotten that taken care of. And the water, if I didn't say the water, we got the water. And the forecast was still kind of iffy. And I finally was able to surrender that darn thing and feel at peace. Lord, now dismiss me. And I was able to feel at peace. How at peace was I? I remember this clearly. I don't know if Kathy does or not. I took a nap in the afternoon. And one of the workers of the rec department was bent out of shape about something and was frantically trying to call my cell phone. And I didn't hear it or I didn't pick up. And when I got there that night, he was like, I've been trying to call you. Well, I was at peace. You see, I was dismissed. I went to bed and forgot about it, which is interesting. There's a man, Dr. Thomas Long, and he's the professor of preaching at, I never remember, Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia. And Thomas Long, I actually was in his presence, and I heard him preach on Simeon, the story of Simeon in Luke 2:25 following. And I think this is interesting. If you like Bible tidbits and trivia facts, this is the last time in the Gospels where the older generation is featured. Simeon and Anna was what, 84 years old. This is the last time. And then in the rest of the gospel stories, you really don't hear from the older generation. You remember Zechariah and Elizabeth were so old. And, he said, it's as if they turned off the TV, turned out the lights, and went to bed. I wrote that down in my Bible. They went to bed. Well, when Simeon blessed the baby Jesus, he turned off the lights and went to bed. And you never heard from him again, just like I took a nap. But not before he said to Mary three things. He said, the vision of God is not going to be embraced by everybody. What you see going on in your life is not going to be embraced by everybody. They're not all going to celebrate you and support who you are and what you do. That's one. Number two, there are some people who will absolutely be your opposition. Well, I'm called to do this. I'm supposed to do this. The Lord wants to do this. And there's going to be Sanballat from the story of Nehemiah who's going to oppose it. And number three, and this is the one that we don't like to talk about at all, is that vision will at some point hurt. And that's exactly what he told Mary and Joseph. Not everybody's going to like this. It's the vision of God. Not everybody's going to like it. Some people are going to oppose it. And a sword will pierce your heart too. And we're going to end this series next week. I'm going to talk about those three points and tell you some more stories and use another scripture. Okay? Lord Jesus, I thank you for speaking through this text. There's a lot more here than I thought there was when I first thought we'd use it. And thank you for revealing yourself to us in kind of challenging ways. Embracing that vision. Boy, that's it, isn't it? Maybe your vision is a new job. Maybe your vision is a new member of the family. Maybe your vision is foster care. Maybe your vision is Brethren Volunteer Service or some other organization. Maybe your vision is serving as a Sunday school teacher. Maybe your vision is going over and seeing what my neighbor needs. And embracing that vision and saying, okay, the Holy Spirit has shown this to me, sometimes takes real raw courage. But then, ultimately, it's being able to surrender ourselves and it back to you and say, Lord, here am I. Use me as you will. You're responsible for what happens next. I pray that sense of peace on every person that's listening to this sermon today. Whether they're teaching school, or they're retired, or they're working at the hospital, or they're working at a plant. They're going to childcare, they're celebrating an anniversary, or whatever it happens to be. Selling cars and machinery. To feel the sense of peace of acceptance and turning over. Thank you that you offer us that. I pray in your name. Amen.